Welcome to the Rock Life Podcast. How are you all doing today? We're so grateful to be here for another episode. How you doing, Pastor Dan?
I'm good.
Man, we are in for an interesting conversation today. I'm very excited about our topic of conversation. Would you agree or no? No, that's an inside joke. We'll get to it here in a moment. Pastor Dan, we are post your birthday.
Post
my
birthday.
Which also means post daylight saving. What are your thoughts on daylight saving?
I hate it. I think that it's from the pit of hell and that we need to run it out of town with pitchforks and
my
fire.
Daughters are like, why is it so late? Like,
oh gosh, like, I hate it. It's like, hey, let's give the entire state what is it called, jet lag.
Oh right,
you know what I mean, like, let's get everybody jet lag. I was talking to somebody. I'm like, this is the good one because it's the fall back. You get an extra hour of sleep. And they're like, but going to bed, like, it just messes me up and something's wrong with me. And I'm just like, jet lag.
What are they called? Circadian rhythms? Is that what it is?
Something like that, Yeah, no, you're supposed to be able to get your best sleep between, I think it's like 11 p.m. and 4 a.m. And so as long as you can get to bed and get your 8 hours within that time, you're supposed to be able to get your best sleep. So you 1 a.m.ers and all that. But then when daylight savings time hits, now all of a sudden it's, what are we doing?
Do you do any kind of sleep trackers or anything? You know, there's that Oura Ring or your watch.
No, I don't want the government tracking.
I used to have
I'm kidding.
This Orbit, Orbit watch that would tell me how I slept.
See, I can't sleep with like the fact that I wear a wedding ring for 25 years is a sign and a wonder.
Even to bed, you'll wear it.
I wear my wedding ring to bed. I don't take it off at night or anything like that. Yeah. But it watches. If you ever notice, I never wear.
I'm watch
trying to get the cameras. But never wear a watch, and no necklaces.
No extra jewelry.
No. I don't know what they're even called. Bangles? What is, that's a girl thing, right?
Oh, like for bracelets?
Bracelets.
Oh, bracelets.
Yeah, that's
oh,
a girl thing, too, to me. You know, it's like, or anklets.
Yeah.
I don't do none of that, you know?
Just extra jingles. It,
if I got anything on, it's bugging me, you know? Like, so, I don't know what that is.
I don't think if I, you know, I'd rock some ice if I, but maybe not.
Ice baby.
Iced out. But anyways, I'm not the biggest fan. The dark thing throws me off.
I don't like it. I like summer. Give me the, you know, extra
long
sun
days.
and love it. And
but you know
heat.
What it does? It makes me appreciate when we switch back because it's like there has to be some pro because you lost an hour of sleep. But you're like, oh, man, but it's light again. And so you appreciate.
Are you a sweater weather guy? I mean, there's people.
I do like sweater weather. So. I like the option to layer up because I feel like, you know, fashion wise you can do some cool things with
it's funny because as a pastor so 2026 fashion for men you know, and even if you put California that sort of thing, you still get like layered coats and sweaters.
Like, that doesn't work here.
I will die in California if I wear that. I will just shrink down out of my sweat, you know.
I almost want to be able to like go somewhere else so I can dress, you know, like in layers.
Pastor Jess and I went to a conference in Hawaii one time, and I know conference in Hawaii, suffering for the Lord, but it was so funny because we were there in November, and while we were there, we saw a local, you know, and she was definitely Hawaiian, like native, you know, but she had the scarf. She had the UGG boots, you know, the tall ones, not like the short ones that they're wearing today. Yeah. This was like all the way up the calf.
Yeah.
She had, I mean, just bundled up. And I was like, she's working it. And I'm out there in shorts and a T-shirt sweating, you know, like.
Right. Because this is not. Yeah. No.
She just wanted winter. Like, I don't care what it feels like out here. It's a balmy 75 degrees, but I'm going to wear my winter garb, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, you see the kids. I call the kids, you know, the teenagers. They all wear hoodies year round.
I hate that. I hate that.
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, no. One of our staff kids, we talked to him about it because he was at the beach in sweats and a hoodie. And it's like, and it wasn't night. I mean, that's normal at night when the temperature drops and the wind is coming through. But like midday, 80 degrees, hot, and he's out there. And I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, this is what I wear all the time. Yeah. And I'm like, don't you sweat? And he's like, yeah.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Yeah. You know, I guess.
I just
whatever.
Don't like it.
I don't agree.
Yeah. Well, that brings us, Pastor Dan, to our subject for today. And it's something that we see quite often, and really, it used to be like, well, this is the season for it, but there's not really, it's becoming a year-round phenomenon.
Wait, there's a season for it?
Well, meaning there's, I would say there's opportune moments when you're going to gather, right, as we get into holidays, you're going to now start
it's
to
true.
Gather with
yeah.
people that you might not otherwise.
Elections.
Right, yeah, no, elections, holiday dinners, where now you're going to be gathering with people, around getting around places where you are just in a disagreement with.
Yeah.
But there's no season for it now. It's just like all the time, year round, we're confronted with issues that we see one way, feel one way about. I mean, the Dove Awards.
How dare they?
Yeah, it's so the question is, and the topic, I'm drawing it out, but how do we handle disagreements as believers? And really amongst believers is the question that I'm talking about, because it gets more nuanced than just like, oh, you think this way, I think that way. But now we're talking about even believers, there's more opportunities to see things differently, whether it's in our doctrines, within our theology. So maybe break down those for us, even though that what's a doctrine, what's a theology about things. And then, I mean, what it used to just be kind of about the way someone did church. And then you could know at iChurch, we do things this way. So you'd kind of have an idea. Most people in that church, because you're going to that church with that expression, you guys maybe think that way. But now we've really, with social media and everything, everything's on the table as far as you think like this, I think like that. And I don't think we don't do disagreements well enough. And I think, you know, maybe we can start this conversation that can guide us through how we can function well.
Well, a couple quick things. One is that you mentioned some keywords that I think are used, and maybe they're used in different ways today. Mm-hmm. And that's just by, you know, time and use of different people that have an understanding of it, and then when they use it, someone else grabs that and runs with it. Yeah. So a couple quick definitions. One is that theology is the study of God, right? Mm-hmm. Theo meaning God, and ology is the study of, right? So you've got the study of God, and there is a theology of the different parts of our faith, right? So the study of God when it comes to things like righteousness, justification, sanctification, you know, all these big $20 words that, you know, that are studied throughout the Bible, right? And so we can have a theology of righteousness, the study of God when it comes to his righteousness, you know? So that would be the why I say use, because really, when you talk about a theology of righteousness, you could also say there is a doctrine of righteousness. Now, what is that? That is, doctrines are systems of teaching. It's the way that we teach the theology, basically, right? What we've studied of God and about God and who he is and his different attributes, his characteristics that now we are to live by, right? And so that's where there can be a theology of righteousness, or some people might be talking about a theology of righteousness and kind of commingle that with their doctrine about righteousness,
which is the system on how they
teach, how they're going to teach it, right? Different churches through the years, and sometimes people wonder, why are there so many denominations? Why are there so many different types of churches, that sort of a thing? A lot of it had to do, if you study in the history, a lot of it had to do with their theology and their doctrines, right? There were people who have a certain way that they believe baptisms should be done because of a certain scripture, right? Now, someone who is wise will say, I'm going to take in the whole counsel of God and make a determination based on the full counsel of scripture, right? I believe that's just wisdom and that's maturity, because if you pull one scripture out of context and out of the entirety of what the scriptures say, you can build a doctrine, a system of teaching that is wrong. Right?
That's right.
You know, the classic case, the classic example is the guy, God, what do you want me to do? He flips open his Bible and he points to a scripture and it says Judas hung himself. And then he goes, oh no. And he flips again and he points his finger and it says, go and do likewise. And he goes, oh no. You know, like, so, I mean, you see how silly that is that you could build a doctrine that God wants us to go and hang ourselves, right? He doesn't
because
want us to do it. But you just pulled two scriptures out of context and said, well, this is the will of God for my life. That can happen with baptisms. That can happen with the gifts of the Spirit. That can happen with, here's a hot topic, women in ministry. Should they preach? Should they not preach, right? And again, pulling scriptures out of context, not only out of the context of the scriptures surrounding them, out of the cultural context, out of the original grammatical context. What does the original languages say? Does it line up in the Greek and the Aramaic? Does it line up with the use even of the early church? Things like that. And biblical use, you know what I mean? Like, there are sufficient examples that would show me I can't pull two scriptures out of the greater context of scripture and then build a doctrine and say that women must be out of ministry and they can't talk at all in church. I mean, if you take that to its end, women wouldn't even be able to say hello to somebody, right? The way that some of the doctrines about this would be, you got to be silent in the church. Well, let's take that to the extent you can't say hi to anybody. It's just the way it is. But then what do you do with the entirety of scripture that talks about, even in the Old Covenant, Deborah as a judge and, and prophetess, right? Yeah. Then you've got in the New Testament, in the Gospels, you've got Anna, who is in the temple prophesying about Jesus, right? Then you, you fast forward, you've got, you know, the great evangelist. Mm-hmm. Here he is, and Philip goes down to Samaria. Then all of a sudden, he's on the road, and the Ethiopian, he's zapped, beam me up, Jesus. He's from one place to another. He's in Azotus, right? Yeah. And there he kind of lands, and when we find him later on, he had daughters who prophesied. Yeah. Well, where are they prophesying? Are they out in the streets prophesying? Maybe, could be.
Yeah.
But in the church.
Yes.
Well, is that biblical according to 1 Corinthians? Of course it is, because the book of 1 Corinthians talked about that if a woman prophesies with her head covered or uncovered, right? So wait a second. What is she doing if she's to be silent in the church? Yes. Is Paul confused and is Corinthians confused? Mm-hmm. You know, is God confused? He's not. We just have to take the entirety of the scripture. So I've hit some hot topics here.
No, no,
right?
You're making the clear point. And I do want to say this up front because, you know, as you said, you know, there's a position. What I appreciated, even in a recent staff meeting where we talked about, you know, there are some things where we'll, where we've landed and we have a position and we have a thought on a doctrine.
Yeah.
And we see in scripture and we feel very confident about how we arrived at that. But I think it was behind the safety of closed doors, we all acknowledge. But we understand that there are learned people that fear the Lord. They are our brothers and sisters in Christ that think differently than us.
Of course.
And so, you know, we're not to here to diminish them or strip salvation, as I've seen. Like, well, how can they be Christian and do X, Y, and Z? And that's the point of this conversation today is how can we, even if it seems so adamantly disagree about something that seems very important, do fellowship and do life with believers in that sense. And that's that's what I want to touch on. So I did want to just say that up front because, again, we do we hold positions. And there are some positions we hold more loosely than others.
Yeah.
Right. Where it's kind of like, well, I mean, this is
I could
what
be wrong.
But there are some things we feel very a conviction for and towards. So I do want to share that because the whole reason for the conversation is not to prove our point of anything, but rather have a dialogue about what it looks like to move forward with people.
Right. Well, we can examine some scriptures on that, but before we do, you know, there are some modern day maxims that we've gotten from history and from some individuals, and one of them is in matters of style, swim with the current. In matters of principle, stand like a rock.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that that's very healthy in your mind frame to say, hey, you know, because for years there were churches that said, I mean, back hundreds of years ago that said, you're using a pipe organ? That's of the devil.
Right.
And now we're like, you're using a pipe organ? Oh my gosh, you're old. You know, like it's just, but there was a time where you're using drums.
Yeah.
Electric guitars. You're of the devil.
Right. Right.
You know,
these were Satan's instruments. Yeah.
T-Bone, who we've talked about, attends our church. I mean, there were churches that said, you're rapping? That's satanic. You know, and he was trying to bring the gospel to young thugs, right? And to these gangbangers and, you know, people that needed Jesus. And he was using a avenue, or if you will, a bait, because he wanted to win souls. And he who wins souls is wise. Right. But there were people that criticized that. And that's where it's like, hey, that's a matter of style. Let's not down somebody for doing that. You know, there are churches that have lights and smoke machines and you know, their music is very lively and upbeat and that sort of a thing. Even, I mean, the big war, more than even like the LED screens. Everybody loves the LED screens, right? It was crazy. We installed an LED screen. All I had was compliments. I can finally see the words. You know, I love those images. I love how beautiful it is. Wow. You know, there was just this big, but the lights, they're in my eyes. I can't worship with lights, you know. Why are they doing that? The sound, that's even bigger. Because for some, turn it up. I can't feel the music. God's not here when I can't feel the bass pumping in my chest. Yeah. And then on the other hand, you're running people out of the church with your volume, you know?
Smoke, what is this, a rock concert?
Oh, my gosh.
We
the smoke.
Like
I'm getting sick from the smoke. And we're like, it's literally sugar and water. Literally, that's all it is. Yeah, so what part of that makes you sick? You know, like too much sugar? You having diabetes or something? I don't know, you know? Yeah. But you know, that's the thing, is that there's matters of style that in some ways we're not going to go overboard. Like, I've talked to our lighting techs and I've told them, guys, when we're worshiping, the moment lights hit somebody's face, and you get that, you know, mm-hmm. your pupils are all of a sudden dilating, or, you know, whatever happens in that moment, you've just taken the attention off of God and put it on what just happened. What, oh, the lights are moving. Oh, I don't like that, you know?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden someone's out of their moment with God. Don't do that, mm-hmm. right? More important that they're worshiping and that they're locked into God and yeah. his presence in that moment
yeah.
than that our lights look cool, mm-hmm. right? So we've got guidelines. Hey, you can move them around all up here where yeah. it doesn't touch anybody. But when you get down here, you go down the aisles. You hit the front area if no one's there. That's right. Great. Looks cool. Yeah. Wonderful. Move them, wiggle them, yeah. change colors.
Yeah.
Don't flash people in the eyes when they're worshiping,
yep.
right? The sound, we do have limits.
Yeah.
And I know some people don't think we do, but we do, you know, and there are decibel limits. We've studied these. I studied this in college,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
I have a music degree from Riverside Community College. Yeah,
it's called City College now.
Oh, City.
Yeah, they went to Riverside City College.
Well, probably because Mobile and Norco and all that yeah. kind of stuff, they yeah. had their own
campuses
and stuff, all yeah. that. But yeah, no, I got my associate's degree in music.
On.
Very learned, right? So, you know, but I did take a sound class, and so I know where ear fatigue starts.
Yeah.
I know where damage is and that sort of a mm-hmm. thing. And so we've talked to our sound techs about that, hey, here's your range. Mm-hmm. You can spike here, keep it about here on average, and don't make sure it's not too low that
right.
we want lively. We want,
yeah.
we do want to feel it. There's yeah. something about pumping music, especially yeah. in praise and that right. sort of a thing. And then even when the room is fuller, yeah. I tell them push a little bit because yeah. bodies will absorb that, yeah. right? But when there's less people in the room, pull back because you're going to blast them, you know?
Yeah.
So like our smaller services, Saturday, Sunday night,
yeah.
hey, bring it down.
Yeah.
Bring it down, you know? So people are never going to be happy. I think it was Abraham Lincoln. You can please some of the people some of the time. You can't please all the people all the time. Yeah. I probably murdered that quote.
No,
but the principle
tracking,
is.
We're tracking.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're not going to be happy. And so that's where I see that amongst believers, and some of the even the topic today, I knew I was bringing it to you because it just kind of makes my heart sad when I see, I would call it infighting
sure.
amongst believers, right? Where, and some of the topics, I'm not diminishing them. They are important topics, but I still think it's important that regardless of how important the topic is, that we should not be, I don't think God is pleased with his children fighting. Mm. And how do we not get on the high horse, self-righteous side? And just how can we disagree?
Right.
A case in point, we just finished October. Halloween is this big, again, even in recent years, this hot topic.
Yeah.
Holiday, and celebrate or not, you know, and you have.
Dress up, don't dress up.
Pastors. Influencers, people with opinions that with their thoughts on it.
Yeah.
And I venture to say everyone's bringing valid points to the
right.
the table. But all it becomes is like this. I feel like it's become a place where you're less than. Like we come to the table, I get bigger, someone gets smaller.
Yeah.
I think about Pastor Deborah where she had talked about in comparison,
yeah.
someone just gets smaller.
Yeah.
Right. And so we're leaving a topic of conversation and none of us are really benefiting because we didn't really change anybody's minds. But I just feel more spiritual and you had to feel less, or I'm trying to get you to feel more like a sinner. And like I said, I'm not diminishing the idea of, hey, this is maybe an important conversation to have.
Absolutely.
And a realization to come to. But what are we doing here, right?
Right.
Are we splitting hairs or are we converting people? So I don't know if you want to add to that, Pastor Dan.
Well, you know, yeah, I mean, that has been a big topic. And I think with any topic, and I think this is a great one to use as a for instance, mm-hmm. because it is close to our hearts. It is hotly contested,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you know, and there are a lot of opinions about it.
Yeah.
But I think with any disagreement, first and foremost is number one, we have to submit ourselves to the authority of the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
Number one thing before anything else is that, you know, the Apostle Paul said, you submitted yourself first to God and then to us, right? So we have to look to what God's word says first and foremost. And we understand that we are not to, And I'm going to quote a scripture. This doesn't mean that I think that individuals who have what I'm about ready to
yeah.
define from the scripture
yeah.
are evil
yeah.
or are wrong or anything like that. But I'm going to talk about taking the essence or the heart behind it, right? Mm-hmm. What is God's heart behind this? So the Bible does say not to mark yourself like the heathen or the pagans mm-hmm. do,
yeah.
right? And really, many people would say that's the scripture that we land on that says, well, don't tattoo yourself, okay? And there are people who would say, if you tattoo yourself, you're in sin, okay? Now, I don't believe that a tattoo in and of itself is a sin, right? Because I believe the heartbeat behind that was that there was a cultural way of doing something. And that cultural way of doing something was to honor a demon god, right? And so here's God telling the Israelites, you're not going to honor me the way that the rest of the peoples of the earth do. In their pagan rituals and their ways, they're marking themselves with the mark of their god.
Yeah.
I don't have a mark. Right. You're not going to mark yourself for me, right? However, then, I mean, you look at the New Testament and some of the people that have tattoos love the book of Revelation because it says that on Jesus' thigh is written his name, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yeah. And they're like, Jesus is into tattoos, you know? And I don't know if you've ever seen Jesus is into body piercing too, you know? I love that stuff. I think that it's a fun-spirited way of people who have those expressions in their life to identify with their Lord.
Right.
And, you know, I knew a guy had a hand on tattooed on his arm with a hole in the hand, right? Mm-hmm. And that hole in the hand spoke to people because they'd see that and they go, hey, what is that?
Yeah.
And it opened the door for him to talk about Jesus.
Yeah.
Right? The nail-pierced hand. Yeah. And all of a sudden he's witnessing to them. Tell me, is that sin?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
You're not to mark yourselves the way that the pagans do, to honor their gods. Well, he's not doing it for that reason. He's doing it as a personal reminder, right? And an outward expression, but it's not to, you know, it's nothing prescribed by God. He's not doing that I have to write this and this is my salvation, right? So I don't see any prohibition, especially in the New Testament, right? And then the heartbeat behind the scripture. Okay, let's apply that to Trunk or Treat for a second, right?
Yeah.
Nowhere in the Bible does it say that we can't dress up like a Bible character. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that acting is evil. It says hypocrisy is evil, which was used of actors.
Yeah.
But it never said that being in a play is evil or any of that kind of stuff. You know. And so here's the world, right? And they're celebrating Halloween, okay? They're exalting darkness. They're putting blood and bones and demons and images that are grotesque and things like that all over. Okay. So are we going to celebrate Halloween? I would say absolutely not. Mm-hmm. And this is where I wanted to get to is the fact that you said there are disagreements, right? Yeah. Let's find the common ground. Do we agree that Halloween is evil? Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Do we agree that demons and, you know, demonic images and things like that is not fitting for the church? Yes. Now, do we agree that children should be able to dress up and enjoy fun?
Yeah.
Can we agree on that, you know? And then even with that, are adults, right? So is it wrong to have someone dress up as a clown and come to your children's ministry?
Yeah.
You know, there are churches that have a Santa Claus at Christmas. There are churches that have an Easter Bunny at Christmas. Now, would I do that at my church? No.
Yeah.
You know, I'll teach about who the real St. Nicholas is, because that guy was
birthday parties where they hire a Disney princess, a Spider-Man to come. And
is that wrong?
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So then where does that end? Okay, so we're not going to watch the movies. We're not going to. What did the Bible say? Be in the world, but not of it. Now, I'm not saying to compromise. Yeah. And if that's your conviction, hold to your conviction. I mean, I used to read comic books. They are demonic. I'll just say that flat out because even there were named demons as characters in the comic books that I read.
Yeah.
You know, this whole Avengers, Infinity War, and all that kind of stuff, Endgame, Thanos, which means death, right, had a sidekick in the comic books named Mephisto. That's a known demon. You know what I mean? And then just the images of the people, the women, I mean, some of their superpowers was to get into that suit. They're basically naked. Right. It's pornographic.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so for a young man, what does that do to us when we're reading about demons, exalting them and their powers, and then looking at women as objects, you know? Yeah. It's not good.
Yeah.
So when they started coming out with the Marvel movies, I told my wife, I don't want to watch them. This is demonic. This was something that I left. And she said, look, Dan, I understand your stance. This is also something that, you know, is entertainment. We understand. We're mature enough to say that, like, hey, we can watch this without exalting it.
Yeah.
And, of course, if it gets demonic. So there are certain ones that we've watched, certain ones that we haven't watched. Certain ones with, you know, like Spider-Man, I would say, especially the old Spider-Man, you know.
Yeah.
There was some stuff in there that was just like, hey, this isn't anything but fantasy.
Entertainment factor.
Entertainment, and, right? Yeah. And so I watched those with her.
Yeah.
and was like, okay, you know, that's not like specifically demonic. Yeah. You know, obviously everything's under the sway of the wicked one, and we can we can pick things out. But overall, I didn't come away feeling like I had defiled or, or seared my conscience, that sort of a thing. But then there are some newer movies.
Yeah.
Right? The Scarlet Witch.
Yeah.
You know, we tried watching the WandaVision series when we had Disney Plus, you know, and so we were tracking with it until all of a sudden we found out it was this witch all along that had her, and she had a whole like witch's coven underneath, and there was this big veil of deception over the whole thing. And then at the end of the series, you know, we were fast forwarding like, what the heck is this? You know, we're not letting our kids watch this. And at the end, she's in a trance, basically a position in a demonic pose, levitating, and just out of her mind and just receiving all this stuff. And we turned that off.
Yeah.
We were like, no, this is demonic. Right. We're not going to allow that into our spirit. Right. You know, I would point out Doctor Strange, you know, and some of the dark arts and the magic and stuff that we didn't watch, you know, because we were like, okay, we see what this is. This is blatantly demonic. There's no entertainment factor in this. So we're discerning, right?
Yeah.
Now, there are people who would say, well, all of it.
Yeah.
Old Spider-Man, new Spider-Man, doesn't matter, you know? Avengers and all, there's demonic things, I'm not going to do that. Great.
Yeah.
That's fine. And if you say, hey, I'm just going to go with pure flicks, and I'm just going to watch, you know, Candace Cameron Bure and the great movies that they're putting out, and we'll watch The Chosen. But there are people who have hard time with The Chosen because it's not strictly Bible.
Yeah.
Right? So, again, where does it end? Where can we agree? Where can we say, hey, we're not going to be religious. We're not going to be legalistic. Mm-hmm. We're going to allow. Now, The Rock does a trunk or treat, not because we're exalting Satan, not because we want to participate in demonic practices. And we're not, again, celebrating as the world does.
Yeah.
What are we doing? We're lifting up Jesus. We had altar calls.
Yeah.
We had scriptures everywhere.
Yeah.
We had a video playing of Billy Graham talking about God and leading people down a path of understanding so that when they got into the next place in line, there was a pastor or a leader there that was giving an altar call, having people respond and praying with them the prayer of salvation, and then they come in and get the candy. So what are we doing? Again, just like my friend who had the tattoo of a hand with a hole on it, we're using something that catches the world's attention.
Yeah.
Oh, there's candy, there's food vendors, there's games, there's fun, there's a safe environment. All go to The Rock on Halloween, right? And what do they end up finding? People that love them, an atmosphere of the Spirit of God that's peaceful and comfortable. They find Jesus, you know. I can't tell you how many people have told me the first time I ever came to The Rock was at a trunk or treat. And they've been here for years.
Yeah.
Families now are growing up here. Third generations are being birthed here. And it's like, all because, what did we do? We shined a light on a dark night. Now, other churches will disagree with that and say we're demonic. That's okay for you to say, but it's not our heart.
You just walked us through a great dialogue, right? And meaning, from your personal life, you brought us through the conversations you had, the origins, struggles, convictions.
Yeah.
Where you and Pastor Jessica landed, had a conversation, where are we going to do this? And it was beautiful because you're like, this was our conviction. We talked about it. We walked through and we took a position. And even our position was subject to the subject matter, right?
Sure.
So our position is, we'll watch this. Oh, wait, never mind. We won't.
Nope.
Right. So
yeah,
it's kind of your walking just. Isn't that our walk with Jesus too?
Like, absolutely.
Whether the music we listen to and so on and so forth. And I also want to talk about how you brought your personal, the dialogue about your personal convictions and your and how you landed with certain things in your home. But even the trunk or treat, I remember having a long staff meeting about what's our position going to be? Hey, this whole are we comfortable with this? Are we celebrating it? And we had a dialogue amongst leaders in our church about what would we do? Some of the pros, some of the cons. We went to scripture, we prayerfully approached this thing, and then ultimately landed on something. Now, that could change with this or that. You know. And so you're proving the point that I was hoping to have the conversation about is that there's kind of a ever-evolving thing. And I think, and maybe as we kind of start to land the plane, because we're using this term a lot, our convictions.
Yes.
And ultimately there are things that we'll do on our convictions. And the takeaway for that I would love for people to have today and for all of us to be edified in is even when someone doesn't share our convictions and we feel strongly about how our conviction is the right way. I'm not even saying that we have to live life. Well, I don't know how I'm going to feel about this today. We can have convictions that we're not, like you said, we'll be standing like a rock on.
Yeah.
Someone might not have that same rock position on something that you think is very important, but we can still function with them. And that's where I feel like we've lost within the body is being able to love one another. And because then we still see them this, whether it's in politics, whether it's in holidays, whether it's, and I feel like there's scriptures that talk about people who have holidays and how they approach holidays, you know, and so if you just touch on that, Pastor Dan, because there's I want to be clear, touch on this conviction, the notion of convictions and how that can be used well. And even there's the abuse of, well, this is my conviction, because there's some things like, well, that's not a matter of conviction. it's a matter of God's word.
Yeah. Well, and I would say that we have to verse ourselves in what are the essentials, right?
There we go.
Said we were going to come around to the scripture, and I think this is a perfect place to come to that, because when it comes to things like the essentials of salvation, Jesus had to be born of a virgin. There's prophetic things about that. You know, there's things that were fulfilled in the virgin birth, right? That is essential to our salvation. That's an essential to our faith. If you tell me that Jesus was not born of a virgin, then I can authoritatively say that I question your salvation.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Not that I'm going to hate on you or push you away. We can still talk. Right. But you know what? You cannot convince me otherwise. That is an essential. The sacrificial propitiation, right? The substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Yeah. Without that, there is no other way of salvation, right? We're saved in his name. No other name is given on heaven or on earth by which we will be saved except the name of Jesus. Why? Because he was the sacrifice,
right?
There are essentials.
Right. That are clear in scripture.
Clear as day. And we need to be well-versed in those things, and we need to stand on those things. Those should be our strongest convictions. But then with the authority of scripture, okay, now these other things, we mentioned some of them at the top of this. Women in ministry, is that an essential to our salvation? No. Whether you flow in the gifts of the Spirit or you believe that was for the apostles' day and it's not for our day, is that an essential to our salvation? No. So if you're somebody who believes in the virgin birth, who believes in the authority of God's word, that it's infallible, right? Here's the essentials, okay, right? You know, whether you believe in a six-day creation or a billion-year creation that God calls the days ages, is that an essential to our salvation? No. So then if you come to me with that and you're strongly, and here's the difference. I think this is what you wanted to define. You have a strong conviction. I would say you are persuaded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and you have a firm persuasion that is guiding your life and how you worship, how you live, that sort of a thing. Yeah. Okay, there are some people who believe that we should eat certain meats. Other people who believe we shouldn't. This is directly from Scripture. Still, same thing today, right?
Yeah.
There are different denominations that would say what you eat is important to the point of your salvation. Mm-hmm. I would disagree, right?
Yeah.
Because you're persuaded from the old covenant, you're persuaded from the scriptures, but I'm persuaded from the new covenant and from the New Testament scriptures, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if I eat meat, then am I a sinner? No. But if I go to your house, and here's what the Apostle Paul said, if I sit before you and I'm eating meat and it's searing your conscience, he says, I'll never eat meat again. In other words, it's important for us to keep the bond of unity and peace.
Mm-hmm.
So the apostle...
That's a key point, right? There's something in there where we still have to find a way.
And that's where I say, where can we agree? We can agree on the infallible word of God. We can agree on Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We can agree on virgin birth. We can agree on the blood of Jesus and the cross, right? There are places that we can come together and say, this is essential. This is where I agree. Oh, so you don't agree on these things? Well, then, hey, when we worship, in our context, if you come and visit our church, you're going to notice these things, right?
Yeah.
When I go to your church and I worship there, in your context, I'm going to notice some things that I may disagree with, but am I going to condemn you all as you're dying and going to hell? No. Whether you baptize in the name of Jesus or in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, for me, I'm like, man, it's about your heart.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you were baptized in obedience, whether it's the name of Jesus or God, Father, and Son, and Holy Spirit, right? It's one God.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the flare-ups in our flesh. I'll call it a flare-up.
Flare-up.
It's the flare-up in our flesh that we go, how could they do that? And I think that reminds me of the conversation we were having. We found ourselves in this avenue like, how could they do that? Don't they know that X, Y, and Z?
Mm-hmm.
And then we have to step back and say, okay, they're believe there are brothers and sisters in Christ. They've done their studying and they're convinced or
they're persuaded.
They're persuaded
yeah, I think,
that this is the proper expression. And that to me helped me because, again, I got a conviction recently when I was listening to something by a theologian from another denomination, one that is expressions I don't always understand or even agree with, I can say.
Sure, yeah.
But it convicted me to, wait, so am I going to throw away everything from this man or woman of God because of an expression? And it really brought me back to, like, okay, there are some people who are well-studied.
Yes.
There are some people who have spent time. Whether we would call it you spent time with the Holy Spirit, there's certain language we like in maybe our Pentecostal charismatic circles.
Yeah.
We can, sometimes we listen for a certain language and if they don't use it,
oh man,
then they missed it or they're missing it. It was like, but it's the same Holy Spirit. They're just not maybe giving it its due deference. I don't know. So even, again, my ignorance comes out sometimes.
Sure.
And maybe that's what, maybe I can say that.
There's some great resources for people. And I would say probably the primary one, Pastor Deborah turned us on to this years ago, a guy by the name of Paul Billenheimer. He was part of a denomination, eventually was sent, I believe, to Louisiana. And he was there by himself, retired, doing nothing. And in that season, God used that to promote him, prompt him to start writing. Mm. He's written some profound books. I believe we've used them in our Bible college, Destined to Overcome, Destined for the Throne, and that sort of a thing. He wrote two books. One, Don't Waste Your Sorrows, talks about our sufferings, things like that. That one spoke to us greatly just in our trials and the things we go through. But in this topic specifically, he wrote a book called Love Covers. And he goes through history. And I mean, he goes back in the history of the church. And he goes, Arminianism or Calvinism?
Yeah.
The Wesleys versus, I think they had something going on with another man of God at the time, and they talked about that. And they asked him, do you think that you'll see so-and-so in heaven? And he says, oh, I don't think I'll see him in heaven because he'll be so near to the throne.
That's cool.
That I won't be able to get to him.
Right.
Like
that's cool.
This was a guy that they were opposed in doctrine, and yet he exalted his brother and said, no, he's closer to God than I am.
That's cool.
You know what I mean? That's where love covers.
Yes.
And he talks about how when we operate in the agape love of God, now we're participating in the character of God.
Yeah.
And that unity is what brings about a blessing. We don't have to agree on everything. Yeah. My goodness. The early church wrestled with this. Just read Acts 15. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
No, you're right.
There were some disagreements, and then they said, hey, this is the way that we're going to do it. Even the Apostle Paul, when he talks to Timothy, and then when he's talking to Titus, and then when he's talking to the different churches, you'll find out, he says, this is the way we do it in the churches.
Yeah.
If you disagree, this is how we do it. And then he says, and pray and ask the Holy Spirit, and he'll make those things clear to you. Mm-hmm. And that's where I love the fact that even in the early church, we find that there was disagreements, that there were things that they had to wrestle with.
Yeah.
And there were things that seemed good to us and to the Holy Ghost. It's like, whoa, wait a second, what?
Yeah.
Shouldn't it be like so concrete and so cut and dry and all that kind of stuff? And that's where when people start getting online, making definitive statements, I can just love them and say, God, just grow them up. Just mature them, Lord. And I'm going to love them from a distance because I've had those judgments against people. I've heard about things that they've done and I said, oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. And like you, I've been at a conference or something, and then they show up and they minister. And at the beginning, I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to listen to this person. Yeah. I don't like them, you know?
Yeah.
And by the end of the message, I'm repenting, saying, God, I'm so sorry. They just ministered to me.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
You know, wow, I just received, and forgive me of judging your servant. And Romans 14:4, right? Yeah. Who are you to judge another man's servant?
Right. Yeah, so good.
To his master, he'll stand or he'll fall. And his master is able to make him to stand.
It's powerful.
When I come against the servant of God, really, I'm coming against God. Mm-hmm. And I better watch myself. I have to have a fear of God to where I'm not going to speak evil of them. I can disagree, and there's a way to do that in a godly and mature way to say, hey, you know what? I can see what scriptures you're using. I can see how you got to that conclusion. I see these different scriptures and interpret it differently. But guess what?
Yeah.
Blood of Jesus, virgin birth, like I said, Father, Son, infallibility of the scriptures. Hey, we're brothers. Keep telling someone about Jesus. Keep running in your lane, and I'll keep running in mine, and let's move this gospel forward together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to close on the thought that I think maybe why it resonates so much with me, because whether or not someone would even take this position, but I think there's a real devil out there.
Oh, yeah.
That would love nothing more than to keep the body of Christ divided.
Absolutely.
Over some things that they can seem like a big deal, but in the big picture, we are we are called to unity over and over again.
Tons.
And we are told that we will be known by our love. Mm-hmm. And if the enemy can sow discord amongst us, then we can't be in love with one another or with the outside world. Like, man, you guys can't even get your stuff together. How are you going to love people outside?
And 1 John says that even affects our love for God. How can you say you love God if you don't love your brother?
So good, Pastor Dan. So again, that's it's a big topic. We could have talked forever, but I do want to encourage the people in that to mm-hmm. continue to, yes, hear your convictions, get into the word, but ultimately land on loving.
Love.
Can you close out in prayer and then maybe you need to stop?
Yeah. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you've given us this wonderful, wonderful body that's diverse, that has different parts, God. And Lord, we know that some parts receive greater honor and are more visible. Other parts are covered up. And Lord, but all of it has its purpose. And so God, I thank you for the body of Christ, Lord. I just want to take a moment before I pray anything else that we bless the body of Christ, Lord. We bless churches. We bless the people, God, that we may disagree with, God, and don't see eye to eye on certain things. But God, I thank you, Lord, that there's just a bond of love and unity within your body because you are the head. And we are the body responding to your leading and to your love. May the love of Christ flow in and through us, God. Every listener, Lord, I thank you, Father God, that they're just going to just receive from your love and from your spirit the grace, the ability and power to love people that they disagree with and to disagree well, God. I pray, Lord, that it wouldn't just be debate for debate's sake or to put someone down or prideful or religion or any of those things, God. We just shut the door to the devil. And we just bind his work of disunity, of division, of destruction in the church, God. And we choose as believers to love one another from our heart, God, to forgive, to overlook an offense, and to let love cover. Because as love covers, it covers a multitude of sins, God. Even where we miss it, God. I thank you, Lord, we're going to get to heaven. You're going to straighten all of our doctrine out, God, even mine. And so, Lord, humbly, we bless your church, we bless your people, God. We bless one another, and we choose to love one another, God. And so I thank you, Father God, that those expressions will come out as you guide us and as you lead us in each and every day, Lord. And God, we love you. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hey, we love you guys. Like, comment, share, subscribe. And we love to hear back from you. Always the feedback, so encouraging. God bless you guys. We'll see you soon.